I think I was telling you that the main things that I wanted to get today were about more about your life outside of work. And exactly, you talked to me about when your husband returned at the end of the war. I was thinking about that after we'd gone over the interview. You hadn't spent that much time with him before he
went into the service. No, I didn't. I hadn't spent very much time with him. I had only been... We had been sweethearts for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I moved away from Texas, came to California, and then I went back and married him in May. Mm-hmm. And then he went to the into service in February.
Mm-hmm.
So we wasn't married a year before he was gone away.
Mm-hmm. In the 6 years,
how did you meet him? Oh, I met him through my sister's boyfriend introduced him to me.
Uh-huh. And did you date back in Texas?
Yes, we did. We went around backwards and forwards. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Uh-huh.
But I was not his main girlfriend. I was just in between, you know, like, you know, how they have several girlfriends. And so I was just one of the bunch.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't thought very much of. They didn't care very much for me because in the first place, I was a poor girl. And when I say poor, I really do mean poor.
Mm-hmm.
We was all poor, but I was extra poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a good-looking girl, and I didn't have a nice personality. So I had a lot of knocks against me. But I had what you call mother wit, whatever that's supposed to be. I had a lot of good common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what how I survived.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another boyfriend that I thought I liked far better than my husband. And they was both, they knew each other, but they weren't friends. You know how they didn't chase up and down the street much. Because the other boy was more refined, I thought, and he had finished college, and I thought he was a better boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made a mistake. I picked him instead of my husband, and then he, when I went off to school, he got married on me, so then that put an end to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I came back that summer to work, to go back to school, well, then I gave my husband more time.
Mm-hmm.
Than beforehand, so that's how I got more or less acquainted with him and gotten used to him. So he had a girlfriend that he said that he had been going to this girlfriend ever since he could remember. That the, you know, how the families around town, they how they just kind of put the little kids together and said, this is your girlfriend or something, you know, playing. And he said, as far as he can think of it, when he woke up to himself that he was a child, that that was his girlfriend, which could have been 5 or 6 years old, and they just called him his girlfriend, and they were so sure that they was going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the public thought they were going to marry, but they didn't ask him how he felt about the situation. They just kind of sort of put them together, and they thought, well, when he gets ready to get married, I'm sure he'll marry this girl. But he said there were certain things about her that he didn't like. One of them was they had a bossy family. Her aunts was very bossy, and he said he didn't want those women bossing him around. So that was one strike. And then the next strike, it was, he said she, he wasn't able to give her anything, offer her anything, for the simple reason he was a poor boy himself, and he had nothing to offer her. He couldn't even move her out of her house because he had no place to move her. His job didn't give him enough money to move her out, so. And he says the reason he picked me was because I seemed to be more progressive. And I had left town. And I had gotten me a job and survived. And I came back to Tyler on a visit just after the war started. The war started in December, and I came back in February. So he said then, well, we could get married. So I said, well, I tried to get him to come to California, but I couldn't talk him into it, so I had to go back there and marry him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back there and stayed.
Mm-hmm. How did your family feel about your marriage?
They didn't care. It didn't bother them. But his folks didn't like it because I was too dark and my skin was too dark. Mm-hmm. And he was a very light-skinned fella. Mm-hmm. And we are awfully prejudiced, believe it or not, Negroes are. If you'll notice that sometimes if you ever go places which probably don't pay any attention, you'll sit around and you'll notice very seldom you see a light-skinned man with a dark-skinned woman. Mm-hmm. But so they didn't like me, but they couldn't do anything about it because he told them that he married for his satisfaction. His mother hadn't seen him in years because she gave him away when he was a baby. And she came on the scene after we got married and wanted to interfere. I don't see why you married that black girl. But he didn't have anything to offer anybody else. Mm-hmm. He had absolutely nothing but himself. Mm-hmm. And then he was a kind of a small man. I weighed 123 and he weighed 117 mm-hmm. when we got married. Mm-hmm. So, and I always outweighed him. So that's not anything good, but that's it. I was just always out waiting. He was just so thin.
Uh-huh. What kind of person was he?
He was a pretty nice person to me. He was very nice. Mm-hmm. He was exceptionally nice. He was much nicer to me behind closed doors than he was out in the open. He would do everything, anything. He waited on me hand, boot, and whip. And we worked together in the house. He's always washing the dishes. He helped clean the house, everything from the time we married until the time he died. We always made up the bed together every morning. We'd get up and he's on one side and I'm on the other. He said that was too much for me to walk around from one side of the bed and back to the other. And so he always helped. Mm-hmm. So he was quite a bit of help. And he was a good babysitter. He sure did take care of Beverly good. But we really did work together.
So he spent time helping to watch after Beverly?
Yeah, you know, just like sometimes I'd go someplace or another alone. And you know how so much trouble for the kids. A lot of times he'd stay home with her and I would drive myself wherever I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But we worked so much until we didn't have, you know, it's very seldom we didn't go together. Mm-hmm. But once in a while I'd go someplace, and maybe he'd sit in the car and babysit for her, but he was real nice around the house, I'll say that. Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things did you do together?
Oh, we used to, at the first beginning of us, when we first moved to California, and we'd go to the picture show, which was during the war, you know. Mm-hmm. We didn't do too much of that. I mean, couldn't do too much. We'd go dancing, and we'd go to parties, and we'd go out to eat all the time. We always had one day a week we'd go out to eat. Mm-hmm. And what else did we do? We'd go on picnics, and we traveled a lot. We went a lot of places we went all around the United States just time and time again. And on Sundays, we always go riding. We always take a ride right around here in Los Angeles someplace. Mm-hmm. Go down to Malibu and back. We'd go to Oxnard and back. We'd go this first San Bernardino, and we'd make little short trips like that a lot of times on Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Then after we covered all these places, we almost went to all the missions in California from time to time. Mm-hmm. We would go. And we went to Tijuana several times. We'd go to the bullfights. And we would go to the races, horse races. Let me see what it is. We'd go horseback riding. Uh-huh. We wasn't very much on swimming. We didn't care for skiing, but we'd go to the mountains and play in the snow. Uh-huh. And we fished a lot. We'd go fishing. We had a motor to put on the boat. We had a camper. Had a truck to pull it with. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'd leave the camper up on the lake. I mean, the little trailer up on the lake, and then go up to fish. Mm-hmm. About every 3 weeks in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So we enjoyed that. We would go practice target practice. We enjoy that. We always want to stay up with the shooting because, and we need it now because now that he's gone, so I do know how to use the guns. Otherwise, I wouldn't know how. So we did a lot of little guns. We'd go down to the Salton Sea, to the hot springs. And then we went to all the parks, practiced all the big parks around. We went to Yellowstone. We went to Canada. We went to Big Bend. We went to the caves in Kentucky and the caves in Virginia. Carlsbad cabins in New Mexico. So we went around quite a bit. We went up to Yosemite, Sequoia, several times. And we went as far as Niagara Falls in that direction, came on back through New York, and we stopped all in there, Washington, D.C. And we come through New Orleans. Then we went to Mexico City, and we went to Acapulco. So that was the end of our travel. He didn't like flying, so that sort of curve I was going then, because just before he died, you know, traveling by plane has gotten to be quite popular. Mm-hmm. But he said he didn't like traveling on the plane, so he had to call a cancel that. Mm-hmm.
Did you do most of these things just as a family, or did you have friends?
No, as a family. We always went without the family. I don't have much of a family. He had no sisters and brothers. So therefore, I had no anybody on his side at all. He had an uncle. An uncle and his mother and maybe one or two cousins, but they weren't close at all, so they never visited each other. Mm-hmm. His uncle didn't have any children. Mm-hmm. And that's the only living relative that Beverly has now is his uncle. I think his uncle is about close to 79 or 80 now. He lives in Las Vegas. And we had a woman that went with us a lot of times. A friend of mine would go with us because we always drove in the car, and they'd always give us a third driver. So that was all. We always had an old two-seated car. And we would, this
yeah,
woman went with
us.
Just a friend, yes. Uh-huh. And so she went along with us on several of the trips.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, that was it.
Is she someone that you had known?
Yeah, I just met her from working at North America.
Okay.
And that was how she got to know us. And she had a crippled husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't go anywhere, so I thought she was a nice person to pick to go along. And it worked out real well.
Mm-hmm. Is he the same man that you got to know the house?
Yeah, he was the same man that made the hat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You remember that, didn't you?
Yeah. He's funny. With your family, you mentioned that you only had the man uncle. Did you stay in contact with your own?
Yeah, I stayed in contact with my own, but I have such a small family. I have two sisters. I had three sisters,
mm-hmm.
and one died. Oh, she must have died in 64, I think it was, 63-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in touch with them all. I have one sister lives here with me now,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have any children, see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of, you know, you didn't have no big family get-togethers if you don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I am the baby, and see, their children would have been, you know, quite grown and should have had a lot of grandchildren by now, but they didn't have any children, so that kind of changed things around.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest sister had two boys, but those two boys didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother didn't have any children, and the next two girls didn't have any, so that just, you know, sort of cut it out, and I had only one.
Mm-hmm. Was that by choice that they didn't have
children? Well, that's a good question. One, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, every time she got pregnant, it was the wrong setup, and so she had to abort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my brother, I don't know what his story was. Somewhere along the line, I suppose, he got startled or something went wrong with him, so he never had any.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't marry until he was 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that, so he didn't have much of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. And one day, the other sister that don't have any, I don't know what her story was. I never heard her say whether she ever pregnant or not.
Mm-hmm. Did, you had a sister that you asked me to be a sister.
They stayed in Texas.
Uh-huh. And your brother?
Stayed in Texas.
Uh-huh. Did your mother come out to live with you?
Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. She came out to live.
Uh-huh. How long did she stay with you?
Well, she stayed with us off and on. She stayed with us, I think Beverly must have been 25 when she died, something like that. So 25 years off and on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She'd come and go, stay, you know. She stayed several months sometimes, or either a year or 2 years or what have you. And then after, I think by the time she turned 65, from the time she turned 65 and she was 79 when she died, close to 80, I've forgotten which, 79 or 80 when she died, or she's going to have her birthday, she'd have been 80. So she stayed most of the time. Her real address was here.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd stay with me sometime and stay with the other sister, and then she'd go back to Texas and stay a couple of months. But her real address was here.
Mm-hmm. Is that ever difficult, having...
No, because once upon a time, it was two of them staying here, my mother and my husband's mother stayed here. But they didn't bother me because... I don't know, I could cope with it. As long as they didn't interfere with me and I could keep them out of my business, so it didn't bother me at all. You know, that's the one thing that Negroes have had it down pretty perfect until they decide they wanted to copy off the white man. We have always lived together and managed to get along. That's why we never had to have babysitters. That's how we always managed to work. The woman to leave home and work, because there was always somebody there to take care of the children. If it wasn't grandma, and a lot of them didn't say grandmother, they said big mama.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't big mama that taking care of them, it was big Annie.
Mm-hmm.
There was always somebody there to take care of the children. So that's how we made ends meet, is by having someone at home for taking care of you. And it was always somebody at home in the olden days, and the houses was never locked.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody knew everybody. And it was always just the relatives coming by, and you knew he was coming or something, so you didn't have to lock up.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had that thing fixed up pretty good. But they got into the place now where, you know, if an old person is babysitting for somebody, well, why don't you charge him? You got to charge him. You can't sit there. You know, you can't babysit if you're getting the old lady's pension and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what wrecked it. That's what made the old folks want to get out and get them an apartment of their own, and they thought that was better, but I still don't think it is.
Mm-hmm. When did that start changing?
That started changing, looked like to me, when I was a child, and I was born in 1918. By the time I was born and I woke up to myself, way up into the 30s, almost to the 40s,
mm-hmm.
That's just the way the system worked. You just didn't worry about it at all. Somebody was always there to leave the children with.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
You carried them to one cousin or one sister or one sister-in-law or whatever the case was. It was no problem. If somebody had a little baby at home, he had to stay home. So he just took care of the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, then because old age pension just started, you know, in the late 30s. And the minute they got a hold of that old age, I think some of that problem is, I think society wanted it like that. They wanted to give you just that little bit of money and make you think that they're giving you something and then chop you off from something else so they can control you better and keep up with you and find out how much money you're making, or so somebody can't get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know for yourself, if everybody's eating out the same pot, it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Did that happen in your friends' families, the same kind of thing?
Yeah, it was practically the same thing. Everybody took care of their own family. Mm-hmm. And the old folks did not go to rest homes. And if you remember well, no, you don't remember, like saying in reading, they didn't have old folks homes in those days. That was unheard of, especially among the blacks. They never heard of that old folks home. And I went home about 3 or 4 years, maybe 10 years ago. And you, what's that old building over there? Oh, honey, that's a rest home. Mm-hmm. And you see here are more people going to the rest home than a little. But there was still some that just would not go to the rest home. They said they wasn't going to let their mama go to the rest home, so they just kept her right there at home. That's where she died. Mm-hmm.
When you were in the nursery working at North American and after you were married, did you develop a set of friends out here in Los Angeles?
Yes, I did.
Were they people from work then?
People from work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just people from work, from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to know each other, and that's why I told you I met the girl that used to go with us when we went on our trips.
Mm-hmm.
I still have friends. I have a white friend, and she lives in Texas. And I hear from her all the time. I hear from her every Christmas. She writes me a letter, and I write her a letter. She told me she's 82 years old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we still write backwards and forward to each other every year. We exchange pictures. To send the grandchildren pictures and what have you, and, you know, write and tell you what all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I went back to see her, and she cooked me a cake. And when we finished eating the cake, she just gave me the cake, and I brought it on home because my husband liked the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the best cake I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I make that cake, everybody wants the recipe. And I just love it.
Were there other people that you did things with, say, as friends?
Let me see if I can come up with something. I had one friend, but we didn't last very long. We went on several trips. Went on one trip, I know, with the family. And her little girl was the same age as my little girl. Much different. The men was friends. My husband knew this fella when he was back in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife had peculiar ways, and so we stayed friends for, I'll just say, from the time the kid was 7 months old,
mm-hmm,
until we got to be around 12, 13, something like that. And Bev was 12, 13 like that. Our relationship broke away.
Mm-hmm.
Because And it was another one of those cases of I was too black.
Mm-hmm.
She was looking for lighter-skinned people. So she sort of more or less dropped me, but I wasn't going to go her program, so it was six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did the woman, I know earlier we were talking about Alma and some of the other people that you got to know at work, what kinds of things would you talk about with each other?
Well, we talk about the past. That was one of our main stories, you know. We talk about, everybody had to tell his story about what happened when they was kids coming along, and how first one something happened and then the other, and how we would discuss how we manage our household and things of that, how do you buy this and that. And Alma was the one who started me off. Because now Alma has very high ideas. I don't know where she picked them up from, but they're just way up in the ceiling, up beyond the sky. But anyway, she was my friend. She came along and was talking about sterling silver. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had forgotten about sterling silver because I didn't think it was for me to have, and I just forgot about it. I just had some old international silver. So she said that we're working out here, and we should buy us some sterling silver, because she had worked with some rich people, and that's what they had, and we can buy piece by piece. So we started out. She gave me Oh, she told me whatever piece did I want. And I ended up saying I wanted a... I picked my silverware. It was by Wallace and Sir Christopher. So she bought me one teaspoon, and she paid $7 for that one teaspoon. That was my... She says, we'll give each other a piece of silver for our Christmas present and for our birthday. So that was fine. So she gave me that one teaspoon. And with that one teaspoon, I had to build up. I bought first one piece and then the other. And finally, I got around to it until I bought me eight, service for eight. And she only ended up with service for four because she didn't buy as much as I did. Once she gave me the idea, I just went crazy because I thought that was what you're supposed to do. Could I go?